Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. And God often gives us earthly examples, things with which we're familiar, to try and teach us heavenly principles that are hard. For instance, am I a man, a husband, or a father?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Does that mean I'm three people? No. It means how I am or who I am depends on who you are. That's right. So heavenly things are hard to grasp. But in verse 13 he says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. This one should make your head hurt. Who's the Son of Man he's referring to?
Jesus.
Himself. Where is he standing?
Next to Nicodemus.
Next to Nicodemus, but it also says the Son of Man is in heaven. How is that possible? Can he be two places? He's part of God. That's right. So he's part of the triune Godhead. Yes, he can be in more than one place, but this is really going to make Nicodemus's head hurt. But when he says no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, what is Nicodemus going to think of?
Jacob's ladder.
That's good. And John chapter 1 already told us that Yeshua is the personification of Jacob's ladder from the book of Genesis, but more than that.
Is it Elijah?
Not Elijah.
No.
Where in the scripture does Nicodemus's mind immediately go? He's well trained. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Wasn't that what Yeshua was referring to? No one's ascended or descended, except. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? So Nicodemus immediately says, wait a minute. The scripture says God would have a son. So the lights are going to begin to come on. Back to John chapter 3, verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What does he mean, the Son of Man must be lifted up?
Crucified,
that's right. Son of Man's going to have to be crucified. But as soon as he refers to the bronze serpent, Nicodemus' mind is going to go back to the bronze serpent. Where do we find the story of the bronze serpent? Numbers? Yep, chapter 21. Had to be one or the other, right?
Yeah, we've been there all. We're going back and forth.
Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Starting in verse 4. Numbers, which in Hebrew is Bamidbar, which means in the wilderness. Ba, in, me, from. Wilderness. Okay. In the wilderness. Verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, which is another term for Esau. So that's the southern part of Jordan where Esau settled. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. What are they calling this worthless bread? The manna from heaven that God miraculously feeds them with every day. Talk about ingratitude. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Bronze is a picture of judgment, right? Serpent being a representation of Satan who brought sin into the world. So when they gaze upon the judgment that's brought because of the sin of Satan, and he was lifted up on a pole, representative of our Messiah Yeshua being crucified one day in the future, then they would live, they would be healed. What do you suppose the children of Israel came to regard about that bronze serpent on the pole?
That was powerful and they started to worship it.
Yeah, go to 2 Kings. They made an idol out of it. 2 Kings chapter 18. Verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nahushtan. In other words, they made an idol out of it. Talk about missing the lesson. Okay, back to John chapter 3. But Yeshua's point here is, just as when the people lifted their eyes to look up to the bronze serpent on the pole, which was representative of Messiah, and it would save their physical life, even so, when they truly put their eyes on Messiah being crucified and understand what all that meant, then they would be not just physically alive, but spiritually alive, born again. So Yeshua is trying to pull Nicodemus along little by little. Yes, God was to have a son. Yes, I have to be crucified. Think back to the bronze serpent. Verse 15, that, referring to the Son of Man being lifted up or crucified, whosoever believes in him, does that mean any Jew? Anybody. No, anybody. Isaiah chapter 55, whosoever will may come. That whoever believes in him, does that just mean thinks he's a good guy or a miracle worker? No, It means that saving faith, the knowledge of who Messiah truly is, the only begotten Son of God who suffered and died for us to be our salvation, to be our redemption,
to be our kinsman redeemer, the Hebrew term goel. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Does that mean, because I'm a believer, I cannot die?
No.
That John the Baptist, or John the Apostle, or Paul are still walking the earth somewhere? The answer is no. What eternal life is this talking about?
Spiritual life.
Spiritual life. This body will suffer and die one day if Messiah doesn't come first. But there's a part of me that will live on eternally, and I will look forward to the rapture and the resurrection. Verse 16 begins the most famous verse. Everybody in the world knows this verse. If you've ever watched a football game, they used to hold this verse up at every football game. I haven't seen it any in the last couple of years. Yeah. But it begins for. And what does the word for mean? Because. Because. It's a continuation of the thought that Messiah must be crucified. And we must look to him and put our faith in him and truly believe in him. For God so loved the world. God is the who. God so loved the world. The world is what? So God's the who. The world is the what? That he gave. This is what he did. That he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is truly the heart of the gospel. What must I do to earn my salvation? Answer is, I can't earn my salvation. God so loved the world, this sinful, dying, decadent world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, truly believes in him, should not perish. That is eternal death. That sentence is avoided, but have everlasting life. The book of Romans tells us what? That the wages of sin is death. Wages are what you earn. What we have earned for what we've done in this life is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Messiah, Yeshua. We're going to have to look more at that as John's going to go into it deeper. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He could have. He could have said, you all have failed to measure up. For the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just said, you're all dead. Boom. Done. That was what we deserved. But the grace and mercy of God is to not give us what we deserve, but to offer us the gift of eternal life through our Messiah, Yeshua. It goes on to say, but, meaning this is why he sent his son, that the world through him might be saved. What if it said, but that the world through him shall be saved? Then we'd all be saved, whether we liked it or not. So what does he mean by might be saved? Meaning salvation has been offered. But what if we choose to reject it? Don't want it. My dad was fond of saying, I look forward to going to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be anyway. I don't have that same attitude.
You're the wrong friends.
Yeah, change my friends. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. What does that mean? He who believes in him is not condemned. If you truly believe in our Messiah Yeshua, you will never see the second death. You will never see the great white throne judgment. It's another way of saying that salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. But there's a flip side. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Meaning this is one of those light switches on or it's off. You do believe in him or you do not. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In the English world, we tend to misunderstand the phrase, in the name. It doesn't just mean that we get up one morning and say, I know the name is Yeshua. We think a name is the moniker you're given as a child. But in Hebrew thought, the word name means all that the person is. That's why if you go to the Holocaust Museum on Mount Herzl, there at Jerusalem in the nation of Israel, what's it called? Yad Vashem. Yad means hand, that which you've done. Va is and Shem is name. So it's called hand and name. Referring to not just the names of the people, but all that they did to save the Jewish people as they perished, as well as all that the Nazis did to try and extinguish the children of Israel. So if you go to Yad Vashem, you're going to find a tree planted for Oscar Schindler. Have you ever seen the movie Schindler's List? It's so hard to watch.
It's terrible.
And who did it? Guy who did E.T.
Oh, Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg. He did it in black and white rather than in color because he wanted it to look like it's historical fact of what actually happened because it's an historical fact of what actually happened. That's what makes it so hard to watch. You just know it's not fantasy, it's reality.
Is
very hard.
Schindler buried in Israel?
Is Schindler buried in Israel? I believe he is, yes.
I mean, he's called a righteous person.
Yeah, called a righteous Gentile. They have an entire grove of trees planted to Gentiles who saved Jewish people during the Holocaust.
And what's the idea of putting the stones on their heads, you know, when you see people's...
Yeah, when you go to the Mount of Olives and you see all the graves around, you see all the stones all over them.
Yeah.
In Jewish custom, to honor a loved one, you put a stone. Where we in America, we tend to put flowers. Flowers shrivel up and die in a few days.
Sure.
The stones are eternal. So it's an indication that our memory of the person will last as long as the stones remember. It's also important to know that Yeshua was riding down the Mount of Olives when he said, they told him, make your believers out here be quiet, remember? Because they were screaming, Hosanna, save us. And he said, if they would be quiet, these rocks and stones themselves would start to sing, because they represented those that had died in the past. And it was representative of the fact that if the living won't praise the Lord, the dead will one day, come the rapture and the resurrection. So just yesterday, we went to the funeral of our uncle, who was over in Gainesville. We've mentioned him in prayers the last few weeks. He finally passed away this week. And at the funeral, I put a rock in his coffin before they lowered it down. It's just a tradition to be a part of. An eternal remembrance is the idea. Anyway, so back to John chapter 3. So when it says in verse 18, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, means more than just I mentioned the name of Jesus or Yeshua, but rather that believe in all that he is, that he truly is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, that he is God from all eternity. And why did John write this book, by the way? All these signs that you may believe Yeshua is the Son of God, etc. To whom you might have life. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. Meaning this is why people must believe or die in their sins and be condemned. This is why people are condemned. That the light has come into the world. The light's who? According to John, is Yeshua. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In other words, because man chose. You're not condemned because you made a mistake one day. That's not why we're fallen and sinful. It's because we chose to sin. And it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and read about the fall of man. We've all known these stories since we were just little tykes, right? The Garden of Eden. But there's more to it, I think, than what we always understood. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis in Hebrew is Bereshit, which means in the beginning. Bereshit. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We ready? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, that is he, the serpent, said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Why does he ask that?
Trying to throw doubt.
Trying to create doubt?
Sure. Question right. Your what you know for truth.
Maybe. Or maybe it's to make sure she does know. Because she's not going to mess up here by accident. But he does want to sow doubt. He does. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but... So the first understanding is, all the trees of the garden are fair game, with limited exception. God didn't have to say, these following five trees you can eat from. You can eat from any of them, but...
Right.
The knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? So verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. Was he telling the truth?
Mm-hmm. Partly.
No. Mm-mm. He's the father of lies. But let's read it. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. Did she accidentally trip and fall and catch her teeth on a piece of fruit? The answer is no. She chose to disobey God. But more than that, she chose to obey someone other than God, which is the heart of where we're going. She also gave to her husband of its fruit, and he ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So, if you've ever wondered, is it okay to run around naked at these... nudist colonies, the answer is no. As soon as they understand good and evil, they know that this was wrong. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? What, God didn't know where he was? No, God knew exactly where he was. He's trying to initiate the conversation. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. Immediately God's going to think what? Who told you you were naked, right? And he said, who told you that you were naked? See, I told you that's what God was going to be thinking. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? What's God looking for? He's looking for a confession. He's given him an opportunity to confess. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. In other words, not my fault, God. Boy, don't we hear that all the time today? Mm-hmm. Ain't my fault. Oh, yes, it was. Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Ain't my fault. Go blame him. Did blaming somebody else work in either case? The answer is no. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. What's enmity?
Hatred.
How many of you like rattlesnakes? Didn't think so. And between your seed and her seed. Her seed refers to? Yeshua, Messiah, which is, this is the first promise of the virgin birth of Messiah, the proto-evangelium. Because women don't have seed. Men have seed. So this is a virgin birth. This is the promise right here in Genesis chapter 3. But when it says your seed, this refers to the false Messiah. To be the seed of Satan. Which should give us all pause, given Genesis chapter 6. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So Satan's going to wage war against God down through the ages, all the way down to the time of the tribulation period when the false Messiah is going to try and keep Messiah from coming. But I want us to keep reading because it's important. To the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain you'll bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. This was what caused the sin of mankind. Because he listened to his wife? Yes. Because he listened to someone other than God. God said, thou shalt not. Someone else says, go ahead and do it. And Adam chose to disobey God and to follow someone else. Ultimately, it came from Satan. But that's how Satan comes to become the Lord of the air, the prince of the air, the god of this world, etc., whatever term you want to use. God said, thou shalt not. And man chose to follow someone who said, go do it anyway. That's how we were talking before. God said, remember the Sabbath day, and the Pope said, oh no, don't do that, do Sunday instead. Is it different? The answer is no. I've had many times when I was teaching in different churches, they'd ask me to come in and speak. And they would tend to always ask me, for some reason at the end, do you eat pork? I think God was out there poking them, saying, yes, yes, yes. No, and he'd go, why not? God surely doesn't care what we eat. And I would tend to say, think back to the Garden of Eden. What caused the fall of mankind? They ate that which God said not to eat. Does God care? Answer is, God cares. Does God care whether we follow his commandments or some man-made replacement commandments? The answer is, he cares. It starts way back in Genesis chapter 3 at the Garden of Eden. He cares. Deuteronomy chapter 12, he says, don't add to my commandments, don't take away from them, right? He says it a couple times. Don't add to it, don't take away from it. God commanded us that which he wanted us to follow. And when we say, yeah, we don't want to do that, we're going to do this anyway because this looks better to us. We looked at it with our eyes, we like this, we want to eat the ham sandwich. God says, that's not what I told you to do. Back to John chapter 3. Hate to keep harping on this, but as we read through John chapter 3, this isn't the last time he's going to bring it up. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, so man made a choice to follow someone other than God, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil, which means living in an evil lifestyle continually, hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, so that's the opposite of practicing evil, he who does the truth, which means, what is the truth? Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Word of God. He is the Torah. In the flesh. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at